Welcome to our paranormal afterlife. This is episode 198 of Paranormal Stories. This episode I'm reading from Teresa Stepanov's book, Autobiography of a Medium, A Journey Beyond Death and the Unseen. When I have guests on my podcasts, I read their books to work out questions for the episodes. When reading these books, I always find such amazing information that never makes it into the podcast, and here I get a chance to give you a peek into the book. I've put a link to the book in the show notes, and I did seek permission to record this extract, and the author kindly said yes. I'm going to be reading from chapter 3, which is titled Poltergeist Central Station, and this is what Teresa has written. Shortly after we were all settled in and had finished arguing over who got the good bedrooms, spoiler, I made a beeline for the room next to my parents and wasn't leaving if they prized me out. And who got stuck next to the mysterious cold draft room where whispers of your name at 3 a.m. were normal? When those pesky goats decided it was showtime? Turns out they'd just been politely waiting for us to unpack before kicking off their full-blown paranormal circus. How considerate. Now, I didn't realise it back then, but our family was basically the holy grail of psychic sensitivity. The house was practically a clairvoyant convention centre. We had my aunt, my grandmother, the spiritual matriarch, my sister, my brother, and of course yours truly, all blessed with the sixth sense, the ability to see, hear, feel, and be thoroughly annoyed by the dead. Lucky us. Like winning the haunted lottery. All we needed were matching capes and business cards, now offering ghost diagnostics and unsolicited spirit commentary, free of charge. The ghosts, meanwhile, were thrilled. They had finally found a house full of juicy psychic energy to snack on, and were ready to throw a ghost party that would put a downtown dance club to shame. It started with turning off the lights, footsteps up and down the stairs at all hours of the day. And I don't mean delicate ghostly tiptoes, I mean heavy, irritated stomps like someone was late for class and couldn't find their shoes. Sometimes I'd even hear papers flying down the stairs. I swear, one of them was probably some poor 1800s spirit child flunking ghost school. The paper tossing sounds were aggressive too. Thump, thump, flutter, slam. Like they were fed up with a math test and just screamed, "Ah, the heck with this long division." I'd open the stairway door all brave and dramatic, like I was in a movie. Nothing. Not a soul. Just a perfectly normal staircase with a sprinkle of ghostly resentment. Eventually I got used to it. You can only investigate phantom homework so many times before you throw your hands up and go, "You know what? Let them work through it. I hope they pass." But ghosts are like children with no bedtime, easily bored. When stairs and paper flinging lost their charm, they graduated to the attic. Yes, that attic. The one that no one ever went into. Not even when we lost important stuff like tax documents or our will to live. Suddenly, they were stomping around up there, real bold-like, making loud, deliberate footfalls to let us know they were active, awake, and apparently training for a tap dancing competition. Then they started parading around the second floor while the entire family was gathered downstairs. We'd be watching TV, eating snacks, and you'd just hear footsteps upstairs, like someone was giving a tour to invisible houseguests. And this is where the living people pretend they're alone. I guess they thought they owned the place. Honestly, with that level of confidence, I almost respected them. Of course, my grandmother Estella was not having it. She decided to pull out her psychic toolkit and take charge. So, she hosted a séance with her girls' club, which was basically a group of wise older women who drink tea, wore fabulous scarves, and could summon the dead while crocheting afghans. They all sat around the table, lit candles, and tried to reason with the spirits, basically saying, "Hey, new management, if you want to stay, you'll have to start paying rent or at least clean something." The ghosts were not impressed. In fact, they escalated. Now they were turning off the lights as soon as it got dark, as if to say, "Okay, fun's over, lights out, Bedtime, losers. We'd be brushing our teeth and click, darkness. You haven't truly felt humility until you've begged a ghost to let you rinse your mouth. So, Grandma switched tactics. She tried diplomacy. One night she sat them down, in spirit obviously, and sweet-talked them like a ghostly guidance counsellor. Listen, she said, there's good food and candy on the other side. You can let go, be free, and never have to worry about property taxes again. It worked, for like a week. Then the ghosts caught on. There were no candies waiting in the afterlife, no buffet, no bakery. Just disappointment and the faint smell of incense. So they came back, angrier and sassier than ever. The haunted house honeymoon was officially over. Let the games begin. No, seriously, let them begin. Because that's exactly what the ghost decided to do. Throw an ongoing soiree in the second floor dining and living room like they were reenacting Phantom Versailles, the remix. It started one night around 2 a.m. You know, that magical hour when nightmares stretch their legs and middle schoolers really need to be sleeping. Instead, I was lying in bed, eyes wide open, listening to the unmistakable sound of music. Not just any music. No pop music, no rock or rap. This was straight-up French Renaissance chamber music. Tinkly little harpsichords, genteel violins, maybe a ghost with a lute, hard to say. And the conversations? Full-on chatter in what sounded like French. I say sounded because I don't actually speak French. But I've seen enough bad movies and perfume commercials to know it when I hear it. Voices were laughing, murmuring, flirting, arguing. Whatever it is that fancy dead French people do at 2 a.m. on a Tuesday. Based on the volume, I'd say there were about 10 to 12 of them up there, just living, well, after living, their best undead lives. Honestly, it felt less like a haunting and more like a living under a ghost rental property that had been mistakenly double-booked. And this? This was payback for Grandma Estella trying to evict them. Not only had they decided to stay, but they invited friends over. Oh yes, they turned that second floor into Club Phantom and were at bottle service levels of disrespectful. The women were dressed in flowing gowns straight out of a dusty museum exhibit, high collars, puff sleeves, and enough tulle to suffocate a Victorian child. The men, dashing ghosts in three-piece suits with pocket watches, top hats, and an air of, I'm dead but still better dressed than you. Really, the vibe was less tragic haunting and more gothic romance series. Come to think of it, it may have been a group ghost blind date. They really looked like they were trying to pair off, laughing nervously, brushing ectoplasmic dust off each other's sleeves, maybe exchanging haunted calling cards. They were having the time of their afterlives. Meanwhile, we mortals downstairs had to wake up for school, work, and the constant disappointment of school cafeteria lunches. And because they knew we couldn't do a darn thing to stop them, they parted whenever the mood struck. No RSVP. We weren't invited. No consideration. No noise curfew. It was the spiritual equivalent of living under a frat house filled with invisible, dead, overdressed French people. After every family seance Grandma hosted to calm them down, there'd be a brief truce. Peace. Silence. Hope. Then about 3 days later, poof, it was like their spiritual short-term memory reset and the DJ yelled, Encore! Then came the eviction of my sister. She had chosen the front bedroom on the second floor. Big room, lots of light, isolated, creepy. Perfect for someone who thought they were a big, brave girl who could stare down ghosts and say, Not today. Yeah, that lasted all of a week. The final straw? One night, her alarm clock, which had been sitting peacefully on the floor next to her bed, was suddenly hurled across the room and smashed against the wall, violently. No wind, no cat, just ghost rage. Apparently, even dead Frenchmen hate early alarms. She packed up her pride and moved into the room with me, uninvited. Just showed up, mattress in tow, like a Cuban refugee from the front lines of the spiritual war. Which meant now I no longer had my precious solo space, and was forced to share a room with my recently de-bravened sibling. But the ghost hotel still had vacancies, so up next was my brother. A 5-year-old boy, but technically a man, right? Brave, strong, unshaken by flickering lights and floating waltzes. Spoiler, he lasted 2 nights. Today I was reading from Teresa Stepanov's book, Autobiography of a Medium, A Journey Beyond Death and the Unseen. If you want to buy the book, there is info and a link in the show notes. And my book, titled Verified Near-Death Experiences, is out on Amazon. And you can get it on paperback, audiobook, or Kindle. And a great way to support the podcast is to sign up on Patreon. Just go to patreon.com/ourparanormalafterlife. Or click on the button on my homepage at pastliveshypnosis.co.uk. And if you enjoy the podcast, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or via your favourite podcast app to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. And thanks for listening.